Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now when we begin to talk about pruning, we need to think of those poor plants and trees. One of the things I think about every time I begin to prune is how that tree feels. Because that tree has life. You can tell by the green. And when you begin to snip and begin to cut, it's got to feel something. That's what I always think in my mind. And here, Jesus has likened the pruning of trees to how God will prune our lives, how God will take away the unwanted things out of our lives so that we can become more attractive to Him and to others who want to know Him. In 1 Peter 2:20, it talks about Jesus' example of how to suffer. It says, if you suffer for doing right and are patient beneath the blows, God is pleased with you. I want to say again, just so you are not confused and wonder whether or not you're born again or not when you start having trouble, you will suffer. You will have trouble. Expect it. God promises it. But He also promises to deliver you. It goes on to say in verse 21, this suffering is all a part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. So follow in His steps. He never sinned and He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when He was insulted. And when He suffered, He did not threaten to get even. He left His case in God's hands, who always judges fairly. Now, we've been studying about the gifts of the Spirit. But at the close of a chapter, Paul says, I show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than just operating in the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God to witness to others. And he goes into the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he begins to bring balance between the power of God and the love of God that's to be exhibited in our lives. Because one of the most ugly things and one of the most puzzling things is to see the power of God flow through an individual who has no or love for people, who has no compassion for people. So Paul begins to bring balance. He starts with the power, and then he says, now let's talk about the real essence of what you should have as a Christian. Let's talk about love. If you'd like to follow me, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And he begins by saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, this is right after he taught about the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit through the lives of believers to be effective witnesses for God. He's saying here, regardless of the gifts that God uses you in, if you don't have love, everybody will miss the point because they will see you instead of Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I can remove the mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. And if I should give all of my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but do not love, I gain nothing. And then he begins to talk about what love is. Are you ready for this? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about what love is. You need to listen. Here we go. Verse 4. Love is patient. How many of you know Christians who are not patient? Don't raise your hand. This is not show and tell this morning. But this is let's get real this morning. The Bible says love is kind. How many of you know Christians who are not kind? It goes on to say, love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Oh, this is a good one. Love is not rude. How many of you know rude Christians? Oh, hey, I just got that amen. It goes on to say it is not self-seeking. Here's another good one. Love is not easily angered. How many of you know some angry Christians? It keeps no record of wrongs, ladies. Men. It keeps no record of wrongs, people. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. And I like this verse. Verse 7 says, love always protects. Love always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. For love never, ever fails. So when the Lord begins to work on our lives, the master pruner, he begins to prune off those things that don't look like love. Because God is trying to transform us into the image of his son. The Bible calls us God's ambassadors. In other words, we represent him. I say many times, if you can't live a holy life and a life full of love for other people and keep integrity and do the right thing, don't tell people you're a Christian, please. Amen. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've been in conversation with individuals before they find out that they're doing something for the church or something for me personally as a Christian. They've said, you know, those Christians, boy, they never pay their bills. I catch them in lies all the time. And you know, and I know God is not like that. Why do you think they're like that? And I just kind of pull back and I don't say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't tell them I'm a pastor. I just shake my head and say, that's terrible. But think about how God feels. We are his ambassadors, people. This is the thing you have to understand. As a Christian, you are always on call. You never come off call. You are always on duty. You can never put down your Christianity and say that God is not your Lord and Savior. You can never say, well, I love the Lord, but right now I'm going to have to take care of some business. You are always on call. And that's important for you to know. You know, when we operate in the spirit and then in our own earthly manner, often we confuse people. Now, I want you to really think about what I'm saying because you, listen, 24/7 you represent God. And if we would just realize that, then God would not have to prune so much and cut so many branches off of our lives. so that we look like Jesus. Some plants, they tell me, especially during the winter time, they cut them all the way down. Snip, 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 snip. So you can't even tell it was a plant. They just snip off all the branches. Don't let God have to do that with you. Prune on you so much that we can't even tell what you are. You are so hurting. You are so wounded. And often we think the devil is doing it. It's just God pruning your life. Because you won't read the Bible, you won't study, you won't do what you should be doing. God has to allow pruning to take place in your life so that you can become more like his son, Jesus Christ. You know, there's some people who will say, well, you say I'm always on call. I'm a Christian 24/7. But let's just face it. I am also a human being. I am flesh and blood. Well, listen, that's a true statement. But that's why the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not yield to the desires of the flesh. You will not yield to those earthly desires that are always pushing us to do the opposite of what God really wants us to do.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Each of us have a prophetic destiny. The Bible says the Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by my name. Each of us was born to serve a divine purpose. God is the only one qualified to guide your life. He is the only one who knows the future. In Isaiah 46:9, it says, "For I alone am God. I am God and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens, and everything I plan will come to pass." I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that is alive is worth the drive. Come discover how to discover your real purpose.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In Galatians 5:16, it says, "I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions, for he will tell you where to go and what to do. And then you won't always be doing the wrong things because your earthly nature wants you to." Let's just be honest, folks. We love God, but we have another nature. I didn't say mother nature. I said another nature. Another nature that wants to dictate to you how to behave. Now, when we talk about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, we need to remember how Jesus was, how he behaved. Can I tell you this? God is concerned about us and how we live our lives. And more importantly, how we live our lives in the family. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's all in the family." See, it's one thing when it's not in the family. You can say those people. But when it's in the family, God pays particularly a lot of attention. Because we're all supposed to be his children. Now, I need to talk to you about something very serious that the devil is always trying to do. He is always trying to cause trouble in the family. He's always trying to cause contention, that's fighting. He's always trying to have someone say things they should not be saying about their brothers and their sisters in the family. Something that may seem so innocent in our lives, but is so, so destructive, has to do with offenses Because offenses build fences. Look at your neighbor and say, any offense is going to build the fence. Yeah. See, the devil uses offenses to dissolve alliances between nations and countries. Do you know that most marriages end because of offenses? It's important to know that marriage, not only marriages end, but families are divided today because of offenses. Sometimes one member of the family won't speak to another member, and they don't speak to them for years. They don't come home during holiday just because they don't want to see that person. Now, you may know individuals like that. This is true. Amen. There are offenses between God and people. Some people are offended with God because he didn't answer the prayer that they thought he should answer the way they wanted him to answer it. So I want to talk to you very briefly about what Jesus says about offenses and how we should handle them. In Matthew 18 and 15, come on, everybody turn there. When Jesus said, you are chosen and I chose you, that next verse says, and I command you to love one another. Often we talk about being chosen, but we don't talk about loving one another as we should. And we must love one another according to the word of God and definitely not according to the world. Now, Jesus says, if a brother offends you, go to him privately and confront him with his fault. If he listens and confesses it, you have won back a brother. But if not, then take one or two others with you and go back to him again, proving everything you say by these witnesses. Now, one of the most difficult things, it seems, that happens is to be able to confront people. When we've been hurt, when we've been wounded, when we've been misunderstood. But let me just say this to you. When we don't do that, then the devil actually brings division between us. And again, it can be in your marriage. Husbands, tell your wives you're sorry. Don't say to me, oh, she knows I'm sorry. Say it with your own lips. Sometimes you just have to say, I'm sorry, guys. Ladies, tell your husband you're sorry. Don't say, well, he knows my heart. He's probably remembering the last thing you said. Amen. You need to say, honey, I'm sorry. And try and say it nicely when you say it, folks. Not, I'm sorry. Or better, I'm sorry. What did you say, excuse me? I'm sorry. Well, you're trying to say, I'm sorry. That's what I said, I'm sorry. Listen, it will bring health and healing to your relationship. Amen. Parents, tell your children you're sorry. Amen. Because they know when you're wrong. Listen, they know when they're wrong, they're just trying to get it over on you. But they definitely remember when you're wrong. Amen. And they say, but mommy and daddy, you ought to know better. You need to say you're sorry. You were wrong. Well, you don't say you're sorry when you're wrong. Well, I'm just a kid. I'm still being worked on. I still have to grow up. Parents, we really need to tell our children we're sorry when we do the wrong thing. The Bible says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. We're talking about healing relationships. We're talking about healing offenses. It's important for us to be forthright with people. It's important to let people know how we feel. And listen, when someone approaches you and just shares their heart, don't get angry. Don't want to beat them up and fight. Because they're taking a risk. Husbands, for your wives to tell you sometimes that they don't appreciate something. Now, I know they don't look like they're taking a risk. But it is a stressful situation to have to come to someone and say, I don't really particularly care about the way you did something, or the way you did something really hurt me. It affected me in this way. Are we learning this morning? Amen. I'm bringing up something we hardly talk about. But it's something that we need to practice every day in our lives. Jesus said, go privately to the person. What does that mean? Don't call somebody up. Hello? I said, don't call somebody up and say what that person did to you. I can't believe they did that. I'm going to call up my friend and we're going to pray for them. Tommy? Yeah, Tommy. Tommy, you won't believe. Tommy, wait. You won't believe what I'm about to tell you. You know Eddie? He's been our friend for how many years? 15 years. That's right. Let me just tell you what he did. Now, but before we go, I need to tell you that. I'm telling you that so we can pray. We need to pray for Eddie. So I don't want it to be gossip. The Bible doesn't believe in gossip. Now, this is not gossip. This is a prayer request. Well, the first thing to say when someone calls you up should be, did you go to that other person first? Because the Bible says, go privately and confront him of his fault. Did you do that? Are you calling for a prayer request or a prayer session for him right now? See, we are responsible on both sides for what we do. You can't say, well, they brought the information to me and I didn't know what to do with it. They just started talking. You could have said, this is not proper. You need to go talk to them like the Bible says. But there's something inside of us that just wants to hear and know what's going on. Jesus said, if he listens and confesses it, you've won back your brother. But if not, then take one or two others so that they can witness what you're saying. Now, the one or two others are not to say, yeah, and if you don't do what's right, we're going to jump in and get you. No, it's not about that. You don't bring people bigger than you are and stronger than you are with a baseball bat. They are just there to listen. Not to interject, yeah, you better do that. Oh, brother. Oh, sister, I thought you were different than that. Oh, as Christians, you ought to, oh, we need to have a prayer meeting right now. Oh, oh. That's not why they're there. They're just there to listen is what the scripture says. They listen to the words that you speak. Verse 17 says, and if he still refuses to listen, then take your case to the church. The church is the last place you're supposed to bring it. You're not supposed to bring it to the church first. You're supposed to go to the person first. Then you're supposed to find someone else who will simply listen, not participate. And then if the individual does not want to do what the scripture says, it says then bring the person to the church. And then the church will hear it. The Bible goes on to say, and if the church's verdict favors you, but the other individual will not accept it, then the church should excommunicate him. Did you know that was in the scripture? If we would deal with our inner family problems, then we would be truly ambassadors for Christ. The world would have so little to say about us if we would just allow the pruning process of God to work in our lives.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Today's message is part two of The Gardener is at Work. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I would love to pray with you. I do not know your needs, but God does. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, asking you to meet every need of every listener. Save, deliver, protect, and provide for us. We place our trust in you. You promised if we call upon you, you would answer us. Thank you in advance for the answer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.